This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to PTBN's NBA Team Podcast, doing all the NBA coverage for you in podcast form for PlaceToBeNation.com. I am your co-host, Adam... Oh, I almost said it. I said I was your co-host, Adam Murray, but Adam Murray's actually with me right now.
And I'm your co-host, Andrew Risch.
And this is... there's co-host Andrew Risch over there. We're switching places today. Today's opposite day. But, No, we're back, and you know the NBA season is gearing along, but we have a special version for you here that we're going to be presenting you, and this one's going to be called the PG ratings. And no, we're not going to be talking about any PG rated NBA films, even though I would love to talk about Kazam and Thunderstruck because those are classics.
I go with Space Jam.
You go with Space Jam? Yeah, that one's probably better than Kazam, huh? All the pretty much Space Jam over everything.
I would say Space Jam. Basketball.
Basketball's not, well, it's got Bob Costas, you know. But it's not, basketball is like its own sport.
Don't think it's PG either.
So. No, that is not PG. Trey Parker and Matt Stone. But no, the PG that we are talking about, abbreviation needed, is point guard. And the reason why is because me and Adam, as we did our divisional previews, we were discussing in a lot of depth about the level of point guard play in the NBA, how positive it is, and how many good players there are playing the point guard position in the NBA. And we are going to go ahead and do ratings / rankings for where what we feel is the top point guard all the way to the bottom and everywhere in between, who's better, who's worse, who's going up, who's going down, and we're going to try to figure that all out for you in a pretty comprehensive detail without boring the hell out of you. So I think we're going to be able to accomplish that. But first, we're going to go a little bit backwards because we want to talk about how we got to this point with a quote-unquote golden age of point guards. Would you call that a golden age of point guards right now?
We are definitely having a resurgence. All the number one picks recently have been, like, the big names were Derrick Rose, John Wall, Chris Paul. Kyrie Irving, they're all point guards now. You're not hearing this big shooting guard or power forward influx from college. They're all point guards now.
Well, I think what happened with the point guard play in the NBA is a combination of different things. The first thing that happened is that in the 1990s, you had a lot of talented guards, but a lot of them were really natural two guards, guys like Allen Iverson, Steve Francis, Mike Bibby, Stephon Marbury, Nick Van Exel, Sam Cassell, all can play the point guard position almost in a fraudulent manner, but they're really natural shooting guards who have the skills of a point guard or too small to play shooting guard. And what happened is you had a lot of these people who wanted to be the next Michael Jordan, the next Magic Johnson. So you had a lot of these guys that wanted to be, you know, the do-it-all, the star player, the ball handler. And I think along with the fact that offense cratered in the 90s because defense was the name of the game and offenses weren't as creative back in the 90s, I think it created more of a stagnant class where guards got bundled together into the same spot where you had to basically be the dominant ball guard and it deteriorated their point guard skills.
Well, you think back to, like, you know, the last decade, people were saying you don't even need a good point guard to win a championship.
That's true.
That was the most inconsequential position. Now, all of a sudden, now you need that point guard.
Yeah, and another thing that happened in the later part, I think what happened is this. In 2005, or right around 2005, the scoring in the NBA basically cratered. It got to the point of no return when it came to dipping, and the NBA did all these rule changes, like taking out the hand check, putting back in zone defense so that you can draw double teams and force open shots in order to encourage scoring, get the offensive flow back into the game. And over time it worked, but also we definitely had a major talent influx, a talent infusion that we did not see in the NBA at the guard position in the 90s, at least at the point guard position. And it started with two guys that were drafted in 05. Infamously, Marvin Williams was picked ahead of him. Congrats, Marv. Chris Paul and Darren Williams, you think they were kind of the standard bearers for the new generation?
They're the first ones, but if you look at like the point guards now, if you know, especially if you go back to our previews, all these guys are around the same age now. They're all, you know, the NBA draft, you know, a couple years ago was like six point guards in the first round, and most of them are starting now. And Kentucky every year puts out a guard or two. They've been playing, you know, like Eric Bledsoe. He's a point guard, but now he's a shooting guard. So it really has – the position has been transformed from what it used to be.
And another big part is we can talk about the 2008 draft when number one was Derrick Rose and number four was Russell Westbrook. And we have never – we'll talk about them later. But we have never seen athleticism like that at the point guard position. And that really – if Chris Paul and Darren Williams kind of reset the standard for point guards in the NBA, Russell Westbrook and Derrick Rose revolutionized it to me.
Yes, definitely. And, like, all these guys, they're getting paid now, too. So it's – they're really – they're no longer just disposable.
Yeah, even the bottom guys that we're probably going to be talking about, their paydays are quite nice. And to be honest with you, it's almost deservedly so. Because you watch – everyone is talking about the forwards. They look to the future. They talk about versatility, you know, changing from spot to spot in order to make more plays. Because who's the best two players in the NBA right now? LeBron James and Kevin Durant. Small forwards who probably would have played power forward in the 90s. Who was the finals MVP last year? Kawhi Leonard, a 6'9 guy with ginormous hands. And who's the next ascendant superstar in the eyes of many, at least in my eyes? Anthony Davis, you know, for the New Orleans Pelicans, a big man. So it's easy to kind of lose track of the point guard play in the NBA, but there are so many good ones, and we're going to be delving into a lot of them right now. We're going to start here with the bottom part because we're going to do this in tiers. And me and Adam agree that we have it in certain tiers, almost like school grades. Well, you know, since it's a new school in some ways, we're going to go with school grades. And we're going to go, you know, from A to F.
There are no Fs because these are the elite of the elite. There are only 30 positions that are available. All these people want them. Nobody gets an F because they made it this far to
So Mario Chalmers is not an F.
Mario Chalmers, I don't.
Mario Chalmers.
He has been in. You know, we'll get to him. We'll get to Mario when we get to Mario.
So no Fs. Nobody's a failure at point guard unless you're just the worst ever. But no, I don't think we see any starting point guards. And we have to also clarify this at the beginning. Me and Adam made the decision that we're going to have only the starting point guards for each of these respective teams, so almost like the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, one representative per team. So the only controversies here is that I'll mention some of the ones that got exempted here that probably we could have made a case for in a later discussion, but obviously two of them are in Phoenix. The ones that we took on the out are Eric Bledsoe and Isaiah Thomas because they're kind of two guards that – play that are smaller and play the point guard position, but we had another guy in mind that we have there. Russell Westbrook's backup is Reggie Jackson. He's not in there. No Tyreek Evans. No Monte Ellis. No Gravis Vasquez. And Mo Williams is a backup in Minnesota. So those guys are going to be exempt. Out of those guys that are not going to be mentioned, would you make a really good case for them since we're not going to be talking about them?
No, because they're combo guard shooting guards. Reggie Jackson, he was, you know, since Durant's out, he's the starting two. Eric Bledsoe is the starting shooting guard now because of Dragic.
Yeah.
They're just, with versatility, these are point guards only. You have to draw the line somewhere. Mm-hmm. We're not going to have a list of like 50 people and all backups. I'm not going to argue, is Gravis Vasquez better than anybody?
Yeah. Isaiah Thomas, I mean, looks like a duck, sounds like the. He looks like a point guard. If you watch him play, he looks like a point guard. But if you watch how he actually plays, he really is a shooting guard / small forward.
That's like Nate Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
They're like the same.
He's a mighty mite.
Yeah.
You know who he's like? He's like a really supercharged version of Earl Boykins. You remember Earl Boykins?
Yep, 5'5".
That little guy who just never quit. Well, that's Isaiah Thomas, but mini Zeke, I guess you can call him. I don't see him as a point guard. So those guys are exempt. So we're going to go ahead and get to our ratings. And we actually have a special grade that we're going to start with, and that's, you know, the letter – the grade is going to be E. I don't know what it's going to stand for. Maybe eligible?
E is just the Elfrid Payton category.
Yeah, it'll be just for him.
Nothing against him, but you're a rookie. You're not, you know, you're going against guys who are way better than you, and you haven't shown anything yet. So by default, he's the worst starting point guard in the league.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know anything about him yet. We only know what we know out of what he did in college at, you know, Lafayette, Louisiana, or Louisiana Lafayette, to vice versa. I don't think they care anyway. That school sucks.
The Raging Cajuns.
That school blows. No one cares how they spell it anyway. They can't spell. They can't spell. But no,
nothing bad against him. He he's a, you know, pass first point guard. We all expect good things from him, but you've played against summer league competition, half of which are in China, half of which are in the D League.
But he does have fabulous hair.
Yes, he does. He does. He's the all hair rookie team.
He's got the Frankenstein hair going on. But E for Alfred. We're just gonna go ahead and put him right here at the bottom because we don't really know what he is. And real, even if he's anything this rookie season, the best he could do is go up to maybe a C, but I highly doubt that.
Welcome to the NBA.
What's that?
Welcome to the NBA.
Yeah, pretty much.
You made the list.
Yeah. So we're going to go now to the D grades. You know, D is like, you know, any school. You know, you didn't fail, but you got a lot. Either you got a lot of work to do or you're not going nowhere.
Congratulations, you're a starting point guard.
Unless you win the lottery or you fall into a lot of money from your dad. But we're going to – you know what? We'll start with a guy who has the letter D in his first name. That's Darren Collison. He is the starter for the Sacramento Kings. Do you think that one's a good placement?
He's, you know, now we're not getting to numbers. These are just sort of groupings because they're all interchangeable. So nowhere are we saying Darren Collison is the second to worst point guard in the league.
No, I wouldn't say that.
He's close, mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't, again, this was Sacramento. Let's get rid of Isaiah Thomas. Let's bring in Darren Collison. Okay, you're a starter, but does he make your team better? No, he's just bringing the ball up, and that's about as far as he gets.
He was only effective, really, as a second banana to George Hill and to Chris Paul in two different places. And now he's a starter at Sacramento. I don't know what he's going to be able to do there. His numbers are going to be inflated. His career numbers are 12 points, 2.7 rebounds, 4.9 assists. They're going to go up the season, obviously, now that he's going to get more time. But just because you get better numbers doesn't necessarily mean you're a better guard. So that's an easy deception.
Yeah, no, he needs to make his team better. We know he's not the first, second, or third option on that team, but yeah. He doesn't need to put up stats. If he's making Rudy Gay and DeMarcus Cousins better, okay, you will go up that list, but he's really proven nothing at this point.
But he does have long arms. He's sneaky athletic. He can steal the ball. He's a good spark plug off the bench. As a starter, though, I think he's in a bad spot. So if we talk about starting point guards, I would definitely put Collison in the bottom here.
He's in the D group.
In the D group, another guy here, and I don't think anyone's going to argue this one, Mario Chalmers, even though I tried to get him a little bit farther down. I don't think it was going to work. But yeah, Mario Chalmers is always going to be known as that guy on the Miami Heat, the one who was the starter on these teams that won NBA championships, yet nobody's going to remember him in 10 years.
He's, you know, he's been in the league for, he's on going on his
he came
seventh
in
year
in
now?
He came in 08.
Came in 08, so he's on his seventh year now. That's a solid career. He has a couple rings. His career numbers are, you know, 8.5 and under 4 assists for a starting point guard.
Do you think it might be like, let me give a good example. Do you think it might be like BJ Armstrong syndrome, where you played for a great team where you were like the fifth best player on your team and you got more shine because they depended on you as a point guard, but when all those weapons are taken away from you, you get exposed?
I don't know what it is, but the one thing I can to defend him, I don't think anybody's ever defended Mario Chalmers in anything, but they brought in that flashy
The Kansas fans do.
They brought in flashy Norris Cole from Cleveland State. He mm-hmm. beat him out. They brought in, who's the new one now?
Shabazz Napier.
And Shabazz is still riding the bench, so he's still a starting point guard after 7 years. Got to give some credit for that.
Don't give up hope, Chris Criscolo. I'm telling you, Shabazz will take that spot. I said that on the team previews, and I say it again. His career numbers, 8.6 points, 2.4 rebounds, 3.8 assists.
Yeah, under 4 assists. It's just
good at stealing the ball, though, 1.5 steals. And he's probably going to – I think they're going to run a more traditional offense anyway in Miami. So I think he's going to have to bring his assists up anyway to what –
Like, I know you're not going to have – if you're the fifth option, you're just there.
Well, I don't know if he's the fifth option anymore.
Well, he was.
Oh, he was, and when LeBron was there, he absolutely was.
Yeah, LeBron, Wade, Bosh, and then, you know, Ray Allen. You're just bringing the ball up to give to them.
Okay, moving on, L.A., I don't think we're going to see Linsanity anytime soon, Jeremy Lin. I would probably bundle him in here. You have any disagreement with that?
No, he's definitely at the bottom. And even the sad thing is, even if Steve Nash were on this list, he'd be in the bottom too, because Lin is just there by default because he wasn't supposed to be the starting point guard.
Mm-hmm. It was a story that never should have happened. You know,
he had his couple weeks. But is he a bad player? No, he's a serviceable backup.
I mean, listen, we're talking about, you know, Darren Collison and Jeremy Lin. If these are the worst point guards in the NBA, this gives you an idea how good all the NBA point guards are in the starting roster. I mean, that's tough. That's tough when you got guys this good around the block and they can't even crack like even the out of the bottom tier. That's incredible.
Exact. That's my point. And you seem to the name we haven't mentioned next, which we're going to mention now, mm-hmm. is Jameer Nelson.
Now, he went to the All-Star game in 2009, but his best days are past him.
And everybody always mentions him as the worst point guard in the league, and we already mentioned four names below him.
I definitely don't think he's the worst point guard in the league.
It's he has just been underrated his whole career.
Well, he has the size. His size has always been a problem for him, and his defense is not the best. So a lot of people pick on him because of the fact that, you know, he was in Orlando and they got to the finals without him, and then he got plugged back into the NBA finals and they lost, and they see that Nelson was like a bad break for them. But I think he was a really good player when he was in Orlando. I think without him in Orlando, they're almost as bad as Philadelphia. You know, enter Alfred Payton for E.
when he was in Orlando, he was putting up 12.6 points and 5.5 assists.
That's solid.
That's exactly. Like, what more can you want from him?
In fact, last season, his assists were 7 a game. So he actually did a little better on a bad team than he did in previous years, if you look at his career marks. Now he's in Dallas, so he's going to have a little bit more opportunity there, depending on what kind of lineups Rick Carlisle throws out there.
Well, yeah, now Harris. Dallas is just they're very structured, and once they find their roster that works for them, they'll stick with it. So I don't think he needs to maintain his. There's a lot of point guards in Dallas.
That's our bottom of the barrel there. It's not a bad bottom, you know, but it's pretty good. So now we're going to the C. You know, you could say C plus, C minus. Maybe we can debate that if we have to. And a lot of these guys are really in that getting there kind of scenario where they're figuring it out. They're very young. A lot of these guys. There's a few of them in there. And then there's one in there that is sort of slipping backward and who has had better years. One guy I am not a fan of. I actually wanted to put him in the bottom when I first did these rankings, but he kind of creeped into the C level, is Brandon Knight.
I had him higher than you did. You even to our previews, we spent a good minute or two debating his merits. He's a fourth-year guy now. He's young. He's been on bad Detroit and Milwaukee teams.
Yes.
He's learning to play the point guard position.
Mm-hmm.
He's developing. I don't know what more we could really ask from him.
His career marks right now let me see. I think it's been three seasons so far. 14.8 points, 3.4 rebounds, 4.3 assists. Not bad. Now, if he gets paid, you know, with that, you know, with all the restricted free agency coming up that you've been seeing in the news, if he gets something in the neighborhood of like 11 million, that I don't understand that. He shoots 41% also, so he can't shoot.
Also, one thing is his two seasons in Detroit, he averaged 13.1 and under 4 assists. Milwaukee, almost 18 points, 5 assists. That's improvement.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, he's got to get better. I mean, Jason Kidd is now the head coach.
He's up and coming. Exactly. And just go on mentioning the tier rankings one more time. These are different groups. I would trade Brandon Knight for – if somebody said I'll give you Brandon Knight for any of our garbage point guards. Mm-hmm. I'll do that in a second.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'll give you Brandon Knight for Darren Collison. No thanks. Click. So that's why we have tiers. he's above the next group.
Like, if a GM made the phone call, would you make the trade? And if Brandon Knight for any of those bottom guys, maybe Jameer Nelson, we probably see.
No. I would just say thanks, no thanks on all those guys.
Here's a couple other getting there guys. They were rookies last season. Good rookie years. They made all rookie first team. We'll start with the rookie of the year, Michael Carter Williams. I would not call him a B player, not even a B minus, because even though his numbers were good on an awful Philadelphia team, his turnovers were high and he couldn't shoot.
Yeah. I people for some reason think he's good. We debated this in the previews. They just said shoot as much as you want, and he went all Josh Smith on everybody. He bad turnover numbers. I have him ranked near the bottom. And
well, do you see him getting better?
I hope he gets better, but if I saw this with Antoine Walker way back in the day with the Celtics, they just said go do what you want, and he did, and he developed bad habits he couldn't shake out of.
Mm-hmm. Also, I think what they like about him is the wingspan, the fact that he's got the long arms. He's 6'8", I think 6'9", something like that. So you can use him in different matchups if he really develops either a post game or a turnaround jump shot.
Yeah, he can develop to be better. But
he doesn't have either of those.
he just has a team who they're just lucky to be a franchise right now.
The other rookie is Trey Burke for the Utah Jazz, kind of the opposite of Michael Carter Williams in some ways. They actually played each other in the Final Four, I remember, in 2013, before they went to the NBA. He's very, very short. His rookie season, 12.8 points, 3 rebounds, 5.7 assists. That's really good for a rookie. That Utah team's not that good either. Would you see him going upwards quicker than Michael Williams?
I don't know. He had a good month. Then he'd have a terrible month.
Mm-hmm.
Then he'd go back and be good. Then he'd be terrible. There was no consistency with him. And, you know, granted, that was a very smart trade, trading away Jordy Dang and Shabazz Muhammad for him in the draft.
For Gorgui Jang. Yeah.
Yeah. So they it's what is – and then they – I don't know. Utah is just that mixed match of just miscellaneous players, and I don't know what structure they have, if he can get better in that structure, or I don't know.
Do you see him getting overtaken by Dante Exum?
I think that's what Utah wants. Why would they draft Exum? And when they have Alec Burks, who's also a point guard, who they moved over to a two and gave a big contract to, we mentioned. It's just nobody knows what Utah's doing, and he could fit certain systems. He seems to be a system-type player due to his size.
Absolutely. You have to put him in a system kind of like Patty Mills as a backup at San Antonio.
That's... Exactly. Can mm-hmm. he be a starter? He has potential to be, but he's too spotty at this point. That's why he's in this tier he is currently at.
You and I went back and forth about this guy, but thinking about him as a starter now instead of like a junkyard dog off the bench, I kind of agree with you that he's a C guy, and that's Patrick Beverley, who kind of got launched into the starting point guard spot in Houston because of Jeremy Lin getting traded in a false attempt to try to get superstars that failed. You're not a big, big fan of Patrick Beverley, right?
I am. When I had my initial rankings, I had him just above Elfrid Payton because he does nothing other than provide a body on the floor. He plays D. Okay, that's great, but you still need somebody to play 30 minutes. All right, by default, Patrick, go ahead. You're in.
And
but you are high on him.
I love him because I love those guards. You know, he's kind of like Terrell Brandon. Terrell Brandon was a good point guard in terms of offensive play, but defensively was the name of his game. And I feel like that's what Patrick Beverley is. He's a guy that can go in there and shut down your best guard or at least hound him to death all day long and give him some trouble. I think I remember Travis Best was a little bit like that. And I just like him. I like the way he plays. I like how he's really fiery and he never gives up on plays. But that can only get you so far if the talent doesn't stretch far enough.
Yeah, he's 2.8 assists for his career.
Yeah, his career numbers are 2.8 assists and 8.3 points.
Yeah, so. Like what is there to be excited about those numbers?
We'll find out if he can do it.
You know, all the Razorback fans out there are cheering, but outside of that,
Well, they need to cheer something. The football team's not doing much. I had to get that. I'm an LSU fan. Okay, we're going to talk about one guy. He was in San Antonio, and he looked like he was on the way up. And then the infamous trade for Kawhi Leonard happened. He played for good playoff teams in Indiana. He still is, I guess, but he's definitely slipped a bit, and that's George Hill.
It was funny. When that trade happened, everyone said it was an even, and then Kawhi Leonard improved, and George Hill is just regressing.
Very slow deterioration. It's almost like one of those Darren Williams ones where you don't even notice it.
Yeah, he's, you know, obviously now he's in back home and is, you know, the pride of IUPUI.
Yui Pui.
The Jaguars. he's very unexciting. He's just bland. He provides nothing.
Greg Popovich loved him, though.
Yeah, as a reserve, mm-hmm. as a starter, you know, in Indianapolis, Indiana, he's 11.6 points, 3.8 assists.
Yeah, he looked overwhelmed by Dwayne Wade in those playoff series, for sure.
Yeah, and, you know, okay, in San Antonio, he had 10 points and 2.5 assists as a backup. Okay, that's good numbers, but as a starter, he never stepped up.
Yeah, his career numbers are 10.7 points, 3 assists, 3 rebounds. Solid player. He'll make a 3 every now and then, but don't ever give him the ball asking him to win the game because he's not going to do it.
Exactly. And he's slowly 28, 29 now?
Yeah, he's getting up there in age.
He's no longer part of that young and up-and-coming
group.
And
he was a 4-year player in college.
Yeah, so... He's on the downswing, it looks like.
It's hard to...
Solid backup.
I mean, this is a C player, folks. You know, a C. What about Brandon Jennings? Would you consider him a C player?
Oh, he came in with such fire from...
50 points in, like, his first week.
And then just really did nothing since. And everybody... I think people are starting to give up on him as being that guy who can...
Well, Milwaukee was a terrible spot for him because he wound up getting linked with Monte Ellis, and they both were going after points at the same time, and they got billed as the most selfish team in the NBA, even though they weren't winning many games. And then he went into the free agency market. Nobody wanted him because the synergy stats were just not in his favor, because there's a lot of stat heads that get in the room when you do these signings. So he wound up taking a lesser deal in Detroit. I don't know what his salary is, but it's not the kindest.
I think it was like 3 years, $24 million, I think.
Which is okay, but he could have gotten more had he improved his game.
He could have, and now it seems like he's overpaid because he has done nothing in Detroit, really.
His season high, he had his career high in assists last season with 7.6 assists, but it just feels like a guy pretending to be a point guard. And those are the ones I hate the most.
They're really below average numbers for a starting point guard who's... He's now a 5-year veteran,
mm-hmm.
going on his 6th year now. So,
and we don't even know if he fits with Stan Van Gundy yet.
We don't know where he fits in. Period.
Mm-hmm.
So, at what point do we say he's not a starting point guard anymore?
So you give him a C plus or a C?
I had him in the near the bottom.
Near the bottom. Okay.
You know, it's funny. He got traded for Brandon Knight. We're still comparing them because they're both sort of average. And
yeah, but Brandon Knight is just blah. Brandon Jennings is spectacularly bad sometimes.
Are they? Yeah. Are they going to turn it on? Can they be consistent? They have to show us this year.
Okay, so now we're getting to the B players. Yay! We're getting to guys that are actually really good. I guess you could say really good in this case. Good to solid.
Well, we're not at the top. We haven't even passed the 50% mark yet. So these are guys who are solidly entrenched.
Now the middle portion is going to be the B players. Now B and B minus, we split it off, but we're going to go ahead get to B minus. Guys who are pretty good, but we're going to go ahead and get them in a row here to knock them out because there's quite a few. It's a muddled middle because there's so many good guards, dude. Let's talk about Jose Calderon.
I think he's horrible. You ranked him very high, so by default, he's here.
He's a great shooter. He shoots 47%.
Who doesn't play defense?
Oh, no, he doesn't. None of those Spanish guards play defense. Ricky Rubio doesn't even play defense, if you ask me. But career marks, 10.2 points, 6.8 assists, 47% from the field overall, 41% from the three-point line, a great weapon. I thought he was a decent starting point guard for Dallas, even though they traded him in a heartbeat, which scares me. He's with the Knicks, and I like him more than others, but you can kind of convince me to slot him down if you...
Well, yeah. Yes, that's the problem. You rank him very high, but he's like 33 years old now. His numbers... I guess the only thing you can say is numbers have stayed steady from Toronto all the way through Detroit and Dallas.
You just think he's old because he looks old.
He looks old. He doesn't really do anything.
Mm-hmm.
His career numbers, 10 points, 10.2 and 6.8.
He's never really had a moment in any of his stops.
No, he doesn't. He hasn't had a moment, and then he'll score 10, but he'll give up 20 because he doesn't defend.
Mm-hmm. This guy went to the All-Star game in 2013, Drew Holiday.
Drew Holiday, you know more than him than me, so I will let you...
Well, he was out a long time with the Pelicans, but what I saw out of him I really liked. His career stats are 13.5 points, 3.6 rebounds, and 6 assists, and a steal and a half a game. His numbers were actually higher last season before the injury. He missed like more than half the season, well more than half the season.
His numbers were good in Philly. He seemed to be good in New Orleans. It's just the injuries have sort of taken him out right now.
Good defensive guard, too. So I would definitely put him as a B-. I like him. You know, I think he's actually got a little bit more room to improve. I don't think it's much. Like, at his peak, Adam, I probably wouldn't put him above B. But he's good.
He's solid in what he does. He's better than all the other players we have mentioned thus far.
Okay, a guy who just recently got a contract extension, Kemba Walker.
Kemba Walker, you are more of a fan of than I. We both agree this is sort of where he fits, but to me, he's more of a combo guard than a point guard. I don't know whether he will get those full point guard tendencies in him.
You know what it is with Kemba? He's kind of like those guys in the 90s that we were talking about, guys like Mike Bibby and Stephon Marbury and Allen Iverson, where they're smaller guards that take over the ball, and they're not afraid to take tough shots or even bad shots. And people love him because he's not scared. He don't play scared.
That's the thing. It's just he's a shooter first.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
pretty step back, though.
Yeah, last year he had his career high in assists at 6 on a good Charlotte team where you could get assists just by doing really very little there.
Like, in an NBA final scenario, would you want Kemba Walker as your point guard? I'd say, I don't think
no,
so.
No, he's – would I trade Kemba Walker for a Drew Holiday? Yes. Would I trade him for anybody better than him? Nope.
Mm-mm, I wouldn't do it either. Yeah. Let's talk about another guy who got an extension – who was drafted the same year. Well, he actually came to the league the same year as Kemba Walker, wasn't drafted the same year, and that's Ricky Rubio for the Timberwolves.
Ricky Rubio, everybody's still waiting for him to turn on. Everyone, like, you know, he just can't shoot.
Not only that, I think his steals numbers are a facade. I don't think he's a good one-on-one defender.
No, the thing with his steals is he overcommits.
Mm-hmm.
He overcommits a lot, and if he gets the steal out of it, yes, he does. If not, he'll just get burnt easily, and that's how he gets poor defense.
He does have high assist numbers, career 8.1, last season 8.6. Probably going to go up now that he's basically running the team. People are going to say, well, he's worth the money that you paid him because he's doing better than he did the previous years. But on what kind of a team? You know, I mean,
he's improving. Now he's the leader of the team. He doesn't have Kevin Love to sort of rest on. Now he has to create more plays by himself. Can he do it? We've seen it all in the Olympics and international play that he can do it. And, you know, don't forget, remember when Jason Kidd came in the league? They all said he was a terrible shooter. Mm-hmm. Steve Nash was a terrible shooter. They all learned to shoot, and hopefully this is the time that Ricky Rubio can shoot to become an elite point guard.
Yeah, this year's his chance.
You know, if people think he's an elite, it's funny, like, people really overvalue him in Minnesota, but he's really... you know, the bottom 50%, just barely.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
I wouldn't put him above, like, guys like that. The next one we're going to talk, the next year, I can't put him above those guys.
No, that's the problem, is he's not as good as somebody who is better than him. And
now, if you do fantasy, though, you'd love him.
Well, yeah, fantasy is a whole different thing. Andrei Kirilenko was the greatest fantasy player of all time, and he wasn't any good.
His PR was fantastic.
You know, exactly. So fantasy is a whole different world. And I will mention the last name on this tier, which brings us to bottom of 15.
We got one more, and that's Kyle Lowry.
No, it's not Kyle Lowry.
You don't think Kyle Lowry is a B-minus guy?
Say he's better. I would have said Jeff Teague.
Jeff Teague?
Kyle Lowry is way better than Jeff Teague.
Okay, so if you did a trade, you'd take Teague over Lowry.
I would take Lowry over Teague.
Oh, you'd take Lowry. I'm sorry. I'm flipping the script. I'll take Lowry. I'll take him.
Yeah, that's why I put Jeff Teague where he is below him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what does he do? Nothing special. We mentioned him in Atlanta. He's there. His numbers.
He's getting better, though.
He's getting better. He's better than that young and up and coming we're waiting for them to do. He is turning the corner. But, he right now, he is the definition of the average point guard.
Who's that? You're talking about Jeff Teague. I would put him slightly above. Like, I feel like the definition of average is a guy like Jose Calderon. Like, I think he's average.
Well, statistically, just based upon these rankings we have, he is 15th or 30th.
Okay.
So he is the median. His numbers, not sexy, 10.7 points, 4.6 assists. But last year, 20 points, or this year, last year was 16.5 and 6.7.
Okay.
So he has tons of improvement, and his one game this his few games this year have sort of taken off.
Now we're inching up from the B-minus to the B players. We can even call this a B-plus if we really are nice to one of these guys, if we want to slot him into the next tier. But this is the third best one. So these are some pretty good ones. Now this one I don't agree with, but I'll trust Adam here, and that's Darren Williams.
Oh, I thought you'd put Kyle Lowry in here.
No, Kyle Lowry I like.
Want to mention him at 15, all of a sudden now he's above. Deron Williams, even injured, he's better than somebody like Brandon Knight, Jennings.
But last year he was so bad. Like, I just couldn't get over it.
Last year was just to me, that does not mention how his other years have been. He looked to be injured last year.
Yeah, but how much does your body of work get you going forward when you look at the now? When you look at what he is now? Because he looks broken down.
His body is starting to break down.
And it's from all that punishment he took in Utah as like a charging to the lane type of point guard with his big body. And also the fact that he didn't stay in shape.
But that was the whole Brooklyn team last year was sort of mismatched, and Jason Kidd didn't really know what he was doing until people started getting injured and he found that his roster by default. Mm-hmm. I think it was just sort of a 1 year slippage because he hadn't put up numbers that bad.
You look at his career numbers and I mean, it definitely tells the tale. In fact, you could probably put him in an A level, and that's 17.4 points, 3 rebounds, 8.7 assists, 1.1 steals. I mean, won 2 Olympic gold medals. I mean, when you look at his history, I mean, we already talked about how him and Chris Paul were cornerstones for, like, ushering in the new really good point guards that we're talking about now. So, I mean, we really love this guy in terms of his whole career. But now, right now, I'm just not sure.
He's above those people. He's above a Rubio. He's above a Brandon Knight. He's above a Drew Holiday. But I can't put him higher. But don't forget, last year, Paul Pierce was new. Kevin Garnett was new. You had Joe Johnson. There were so many pieces that were new. I think it was just more of him sort of being lost as opposed to just a complete down decline.
Okay, I think we got one more guy here, and then we're getting into B+. And the last guy, I'd say a B player, really good, getting better, is Goran Dragic for the Suns.
Kyle Lowry?
No.
Okay, so you have – I have Dragic a little higher. He has been steadily improving every year, you know, up to his most improved player last year. And
46% shooter, you know, and he had 5.9 assists. 20 points. Wow. I mean, he's in a really unique system under Jeff Hornacek, along with Eric Bledsoe, Isaiah Thomas, that small line, that small front line with the Morris Twins and Miles Plumlee, where they play fast, they have to play fast, and the ball's always in their hands.
Yeah, so you could say he's a system player if you want, but.
Well, they all are in a ways. They're all point guards. Yeah, but one, you got to do what you got to do.
But would Goron work in a slowdown system like?
Well, he did in Houston a little bit under Rick Adelman, or maybe Kevin McHale it was. But he, I didn't feel like he played as fast when he was in Houston, and I thought his numbers dipped because of it.
It's funny, like the numbers, they didn't really dip too much. They're fairly close to what they were.
Yeah, he never cratered. He never like had a horrible year. He's always been good. That's why we have him as like a B, close to a B plus.
That's the thing is that this, you know, last year with his 20 points per game, it's just sort of like, wow, that's really good.
Okay, you have the floor. Give me your Kyle Lowry.
Kyle Lowry. He's next. He has been steadily improving. And now he's found his home in Toronto.
He was a stud last year, dude. He was, like, really carrying the team in the playoffs in the last few games.
Yeah, last year, you know, he averaged almost 18 points, over 7 assists a game. And you thought, once they trade away Rudy Gay, all right, they're going back to tanking. He took off.
Mm-hmm.
He took off and from, you know, that trade from Houston to Toronto was, like, the best thing that happened to him, it seemed.
Well, he had character issues in Houston. He kind of basically forced his way out of Toronto, but he turned it around because not only did he get a chance in Toronto, he was able to get the ball and be a primary scorer, and the team won with – it was almost like he said, ha, I told you so.
Yeah, it seems like he's – because Memphis, his time at Memphis was forgettable, as seems to be a lot of people there.
Well, man, that was the years when they had, like, O.J. Mayo and Allen Iverson for, like, 5 minutes, and they were terrible.
Yeah, they were really just bad mismatch team of just random players.
Fell into a good team with Toronto. They're on the way up. 38% from the three-point line last year. For a point guard of his size, that's really, really good. So, and his steal numbers were high, too. So he's an excellent player. He is a good player. So now we're getting to B+. Would you call Ty Lawson a B+ guy?
I would have said, you know, regular B.
Mm-hmm.
But the case can be made for him. He's another person who seems to be derailed by injuries, but always put up lots of solid numbers before that.
Pound for pound, one of the best players, though.
Pound for pound? He is a tiny guy.
He's kind of like thick bone, but he's not like – he's small. He's very small.
Yeah, he's I think, 5'10 or 5'11.
I remember seeing him in North Carolina, and they won the NCAA tournament. Now, they had other guys like Tyler Hansbrough and Danny Green and Wayne Ellington. But when I saw Lawson at him, I was like, oh, my God, this dude's going to be good. I knew it. And even when he got picked, I think it was either late in the first round, he was actually picked by the Timberwolves, and they traded him to the Nuggets.
Well, that was because that was the year Timberwolves picked everybody as a point guard.
Yeah, and then they picked the good one and traded him. Good job, Khan. Yeah. You're fired.
Yeah, last year he put up 17.6 and 8.8 assists.
Injury-laden season.
Yeah, it got cut short, but that's solid point guard numbers. One over a steal and a half a game.
A nightmare on the pick and roll, too, because he's so fast.
Exactly, and he's one of those people who I don't think we've seen his ceiling yet.
No, I don't think so either. I think we got... I don't know. Denver's such a hodgepodge. We previewed him already. You can listen to that anytime. But I think we haven't seen his best yet. But when we see his best, I'm kind of fearing that it will be under a team that has the worser circumstances. They're not going to be a playoff team. That's my fear with Ty Lawson.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be. He could just be a stat gobbler at the end.
Now, you and I both like this guy. Some people would call him an average point guard because he's not spectacular, but we think he's much better than that, and that's Mike Conley.
Mike Conley, it was funny. He was one of those people, they gave him that big extension way back, and everyone's like, wow, why are you overpaying for him? And like we mentioned in our previews, he grew into it.
Now
it
he's
took
underpaid.
Him a while. Yeah, now he's just a pure bargain. His 1 year at, you know, Ohio State was overshadowed by Greg Oden, and he was pretty much garbage for the first...
Well, he came out way too early. Way too early. A little point guard with no upper body strength coming out of a Big Ten school and then getting shot right into the NBA as either a backup point guard or a starting point guard.
No, he was pretty much a starting point guard from the onset.
Learned on the fly, yeah. It was going to be either him or JC Navarro, and Navarro went back to Spain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, did he do himself a service by coming out too early? Well, when you're the number three or number six pick?
He was fourth. That was a really good draft. That was 07. Number one, infamously, was Greg Oden.
Yeah,
then it was Durant. Then it was Horford. And then it was Mike Conley.
You know, so he was picked sort of too high, and he was started from day one.
And Memphis had no hope at the time.
Yeah. You know, he's grown into, you know, last year, 17.2 points, 6 assists, another steal and a half, almost 3 rebounds a game,
mm-hmm.
3-1 assist to turnover ratio. He's grown into, it's been healthy.
The one factor for Mike Conley, I guess, going forward, how much better can he get? Like, I think he's about as good as he is.
I think so, too.
So, like, will he ever crack all-star level? I don't think so. But that's not a bad thing.
I don't, but he's, you know, he's also 27 now, so he's no longer a young point guard, having been in the league for 8 years now.
Yeah, and I mean, he gives Russell Westbrook problems. Like, every time I watch him in the playoffs, it's always like...
He is a solid defender, which is the first thing you need to learn as a young point guard. That's what keeps you on the court, which is amazing how somebody who plays no defense like Calderon is still in the league.
Okay, barring... Oh, you're going to kill me for that. Okay, barring any type of sliding that we might disagree with when we go forward, we're in our top nine. We're closing the book on the B grades. The C grades are already behind us. The D grades are behind us. Alfred Payton is behind us. Now we're getting to the nitty-gritty. We're talking about the really good ones. We're not in the cream of the crop, but we're in the A-minus range. Let's start with Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie Irving, he really surprised me. I didn't think he'd be as good as he has been.
Well, he was hurt all the time at Duke, so no one really saw him. Now, I saw him in high school for exhibitions. Now, that doesn't mean a damn thing a lot, but I saw him with elite players, and I saw it. I could see him clicking with those guys, and I said, man, this guy's really got it as a point guard. And I knew that wherever he went, if he became the starting point guard, he was going to be a stud.
Yeah, I guess it was just I honestly thought he'd just be another Duke failure.
Now, here's my problem with Kyrie Irving. Is he a true point guard?
No, he's a shoot first guy.
He's almost like another Dwayne Wade. Just not as good of a scorer.
He's a smaller, you could say he's a smaller Wade.
Mm-hmm. But is he the best point guard LeBron has ever played with? I mean, by default.
As opposed to Mario Chalmers?
As opposed to Mario Chalmers and Mo Williams and Carlos Arroyo and Mike Bibby. Broken down
Daniel,
Mike Bibby.
Daniel Booby Gibson.
Daniel Booby Gibson. And remember Jeff McInnes?
Yeah, by default, he's the best. Did they sort of rush by giving him a max contract? He probably would have gotten it anyways by somebody else.
Well, yeah, that's very true. I think they wanted to seal him up while they were doing the LeBron talks. So... And he was more than willing to sign it, knowing LeBron was coming. So that's a little bit of just, you know, behind-the-scenes stuff.
He could put up 20 points a game, but you need to...
6 assists last season, 5.8 career. For an elite point guard, that's not good enough. That's why we don't have him as elite.
He has his way. He could make, in a year or two, he could make his way up to top 5. But now he's just the A-minus.
We don't know. We don't think this guy's sliding, but I think we could have ranked him higher in an earlier year, and that's Rajon Rondo.
Rondo's main problem is Rondo. He is just not a likable player.
Mm-hmm.
All the talent in the world, he's probably...
Isaiah Thomas wasn't likable.
No, but he's also retired and has ruined many teams and leagues in his wake.
wait till Rajon Rondo becomes a GM.
But, he, it's his team now. He's probably a top 2 passer in the league. He makes it look so, like, easy.
He's got those big hands. He's a very good defender.
Very good defender, very good, but it's just he's moody.
Good rebounder, too.
He's just his personality has just sort of been his downfall his entire career.
Last year he had 9.8 assists because even though he didn't play many games, he still could rack up the, you know, like you were saying, the assist numbers. Career 8.4, but his points per game is 11.1. Now, he has gone off a few times. I remember he scored, I think, like 40 against Miami in the Eastern Conference Finals one time. So he has the ability to score and get hot, but it's not as often.
Yeah, because everyone is leaving him open.
Yeah.
They're just saying, okay, you can't really shoot, go. You're going to beat us. And sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. You know, okay, yes, he had the injury that really took him out, but he came. I saw him last year. He looked good.
Yeah.
He's looked good thus far this season.
Okay, we're going to talk about two guys who made their debuts in the All-Star game last year. We'll talk about the first one from Portland, Damian Lillard,
he's just a good player.
Mm-hmm.
There's really... Is he an excellent top player in anything? No, but he's just really, really good.
He's a good shooter.
But is he as good a shooter as people in the, you know, the top four will say? No.
Not the top four. Well, depending on one guy, but not in that level, no.
You know, is he better than, let's say, Ryan Westbrook? Nope.
Russell Westbrook. Are you thinking of Brian Westbrook?
Yeah, I'm thinking of Brian Westbrook.
I hate Brian Westbrook.
My mind is on, but is he better than him? Is he better than Chris Paul? No, but he's just right below him.
Yeah, he's almost like a poor man's Russell Westbrook. You know, he racks up the points. He's a good shooter. He loves taking those long twos and you know, corner threes. He likes to shoot off the dribble, and his assists aren't really that high. Six assists a game career. So he kind of reminds me of him, but he's in a good situation in Portland, and he always has the ball in his hands.
Yeah, he from coming from tiny Weber State.
Mm-hmm.
He's really a big time player.
And now everybody's looking for the next Damian Lillard. Enter Elfrid Payton out of ULL.
Oh, Elfrid Payton. Last year they drafted, was it CJ McCollum from
Liberty? Yeah, out of Lehigh. You're right about
Lehigh.
He's the back of Utah. Yeah.
Yeah. So everybody's now trying to find the next big small market, small college guy.
Like 4-year guy who's got sneaky athleticism that nobody sees. The diamond.
Nobody's ever heard him. You mm-hmm. know, it's.
Dante Exum was supposed to be that next one, and that's another Utah. What the fuck is Utah doing?
I think they just secretly have two GMs who take alternating days.
I think Damian Lillard's team is going to be picking on that team for years. Jeez. Okay, another guy who went to the All-Star game last year, a spectacular athlete, John Wall.
John Wall came back from his injury, and he deserves to be in the top five, top six category. He's just under. Just under the top guys. And
yeah, and coming off that knee surgery he had in 2013, he exploded. Like, he had, like, I think a 40-something point game, like, pretty much like 1 month coming back. And last year he was very good. The team wasn't great in the regular season, but he got better in the postseason. He does have to work on his shooting. He's still not a great shooter, even though he averaged 19 points a game last year. But, dude, his assists, he's 8.8 assists.
Every year he's been improving on something.
And blindingly fast.
Blindingly fast after his knee injury, too.
Can you believe how lucky John Calipari got when he took the Kentucky job? He walks in. Who are the recruits that he drags over that he was going to bring to Memphis at first? And which ones does he drag over? John Wall, Eric Bledsoe, and Boogie Cousins.
Yeah.
Three potential NBA All-Stars.
Yeah, and they would have been there at Memphis, and it's just sort of more, you know, that's just the whole college shady. I don't know. It's Calipari, and they're all the one and dones, and that's how he stays out of the NCAA's radar because the guys are gone before they could, you know, do anything too bad. And You don't need to go to class if you're just a 1 year player.
No, I don't think they go to class if you go for 2 or 3 years. But
well, at 2 or 3 years, people start noticing. But 1 year, oh, he just flunked. You know, you go one semester, the second semester, you don't show up, and then you would have failed out anyways.
John Wall was a John Calipari product at point guard. He went number one in 2010. And we're going to talk about a guy who went number one who had played under John Calipari at point guard in 2008. We love this guy. He's awesome. We could even argue he's still elite. But I think we got to see it, and that's D-Rose.
He is not elite only because of his terrible, terrible injuries.
I agree.
He would have been, if he had been healthy, I think he would be who's the best? Would it be Derrick Rose or Chris Paul?
He had only 10 games last year, but if you look at the numbers last year, 50.9 points, 3.2 rebounds, 4.3 assists. That's like Drew Holiday numbers. I mean, that's okay.
That's when you come back rusty, too. When
he's he couldn't shoot at all. You know,
that's the problem is it's another thing of how good could he have been had he not gotten injured twice.
His career numbers, wow, 20.8. 3.8, 6.7, and his shooting percentage was going up as he was getting into his MVP range. He won MVP in 2011. He probably could have made a case for MVP in 2012 had he not sat out a few games due to injuries before he tore his knee. Here's the big question here, and we already kind of talked about it. Can he be an elite point guard once again?
I think he can. I don't think he's still young enough to, he could sort of modify his game, sort of protect himself a little better from being, you know, reckless.
Mm-hmm.
He has potential to do so. However, he, again, is just one injury away from being done.
So A-. You got to put the minus there, right?
A-. He had the potential to be an A+. Okay, the injuries have brought him down to a minus. Is he better than a B+ player? Yeah. Would you rather have Derrick Rose or Rondo? Derrick Rose or Kyrie Irving?
John Wall for Derrick Rose? I mean,
I would listen. I would entertain that trade.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're bundled together. Like, I would if I had to choose between Rose and Lillard, I'd still take Rose. If I had to choose between Rose and Rondo, I'd still take Derrick Rose.
Yeah. You know? But if they said, we'll trade you Rose for Lillard, I'd be like, I'll ask my people. Hey, you want to trade Lillard for Rose? I will ask around.
I have to think about it, but yeah.
I wouldn't say yes, but I would. That would require a couple minutes to because they are on that same tier.
Okay, we got four to go, and I think we're in agreement, you and I.
Agree on the top four.
I don't know. There's one guy that we might consider A+, but A guys, these four?
Yep.
Okay, here we go. First one, I don't even know if he's a point guard really, truthfully, but he handles the ball like a point guard, and he dishes out the ball a lot, and he's maybe the best shooter in the entire NBA, Steph Curry,
he's not a point guard. He's just a point guard by size, and kid just shoots lights out.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing you can do if he just makes every shot.
Yeah, he's a nifty passer, too. I mean, if you look at the no-looks, not only does he do the no-looks, he does no-look passes that are right on the money. Like, the only way it could be screwed up is if the guy just flat-out drops it. You know, it's one of those types of – he's one of those type of gifted passers. So I like him at point guard. Now, Sean Livingston's there, too. So it'll be interesting to see if they slide Curry to the two and let him do off-the-ball screens to get open for threes and be more of a Ray Allen type instead of the ball handler so that they don't
Yeah, they're going to let him float around. But the thing that impressed me last year is, you know, not only did he score 24 a game, he had 8.5 assists.
And 1.6 steals.
Which was, you know, before that, his high assist was 7. So he's now passing the ball more and scoring more, still playing solid defense.
Yeah, but I think that's the reason why we have him on the lower part of the elite tier, is that he's not a great defender.
He's getting better. He's still young. He's only 25.
Like the next guys we're talking about, like I think they're good to great defenders.
I have him at solidly at number 3 in the bronze medal spot.
In the bronze spot, okay. And I think I know the guy that you left out, but I had him slightly above. This is the oldest guy in the starting class, but I think he's the most reliant one, and he also has that bling, and that's Tony Parker.
Yeah. See, so, you know, my 4 is your 3, your 3 is my 4. It's, you know, Tony Parker, yes, he's done it forever, and he's, you know, a 14-year veteran now. He's getting up there in age. His best days are behind him, blah, blah, blah. But he wins. So all he does is win.
The numbers, you look at him, okay. 17 points, 3 rebounds, 6 assists. He's never asked to rebound. He always takes the ball from either Duncan or some other big guy who's on the court. His assists are okay, but remember, the Spurs are one of those multiple action type of hockey assist teams where they just fluidly move the ball and everybody gets assists. He only plays about 30 minutes a game a lot of times, especially now that he's getting older. So 17 points a game is it's not his career high. I think his career high in a season is around 23. But it just goes to show how they don't have to rely on Tony Parker all the time. But he is a guy you can go to in the nitty-gritty.
He never asked to be the star of the team. He mm-hmm. just came in, accepted his role, and he's, you know, a top-tier point guard because he just plays within himself. And he looks comfortable. He hasn't been asked to do things out of his realm.
Exactly. I mean, and he's got the championship. If you want championship experience, boom, click. There's your guy.
What, you know, go play with Tim Duncan?
Well, no, go get Tony Parker. I think he won finals MVP in 07, even though he did have Tony Parker. Tim Duncan, you're right.
Yeah.
So, okay, we got two. They actually played each other in the playoffs last year. I think they're going to be playing each other in the playoffs for, like, the next decade. They're going with the way it's going these days, but we love them. They're very different. This is kind of like a new school versus old school in a way, is because one of them is kind of a natural traditional point guard, and the other one's type of one of those new generation point guards we were talking about. This guy, I'm gonna talk to him first. He's the new gen guy. He's the super athlete. And that is Russell Westbrook.
Brian Westbrook.
Man, Brian Westbrook. He came back from that football career really nicely.
He's doing it like Bo did.
Does he dress as well as Russ?
that's ugly fashion with those super.
The Urkel style.
Yeah.
It's in, man. He's got a whole freaking line now.
Russell Westbrook is probably the best shooting guard in the NBA.
Yes.
He just happens to have the size of the point. You know, he's not as big as shooting point. He just scores. It just scores in droves. Career 20-point shooter, 7 assists, steal and a half a game.
Yeah, he still gets – I mean, last season, even his career, he still gets 7 assists. So when people say, oh, man, he hogs the ball. Yeah, but he gets 5 rebounds. He's a great defender. Oh, my God. When he hounds you, he hounds the piss out of you.
Exactly. He is an elite defender.
Great hustler.
The only thing he really doesn't do is shoot threes.
Not well. He shoots them.
He shoots them, but he really shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Especially when you have Kevin Durant on the fly. You can just pitch it out to him on penetration.
Exactly. Yeah, career 30% three-point shooter.
He chucks a lot. He's like KJ. He's a better version of KJ. He's like I've always said this. He's either like a better version of Kevin Johnson, or he's a more modified version of Stephon Marbury. He's like Stephon Marbury if Marbury ever figured it out.
Yeah.
You know, Marbury wasn't as athletic as Russ was. I mean, he came out of nowhere, dude. I remember watching him at UCLA as a freshman, and I had no idea who he was. Ben Howland recruited him, and nobody really knew who he was, and because he was so small coming out of high school. And by his sophomore year, he had already taken the point guard spot away from Darren Collison, who had played in, like, 2 Final Fours.
But the thing with UCLA is really one of those schools that have sort of messed up a lot of people.
Yeah, Drew Holiday.
Like them in Texas. Like, people come from there and it's like, well, we didn't know they were that good.
Yeah.
It's just...
Are you talking about my best friend Rick Barnes?
Westbrook was just, like, in college, it was like, you didn't think he would be as good as he became.
By his sophomore year with Kevin Love as a freshman, it was like, oh, wow, these guys are NBA players. These guys are NBA All-Stars.
They're NBA All-Stars on a college team with a coach who's sort of like, you need to do this, and like, but they don't fit that at all. And. Yeah.
We would usually say for players like Westbrook, the future is coming. Well, the future's now. He's here. He's the best. You know,
he is a solid. You know, if there is like he's like a 1A.
You wouldn't consider him a 2 in this case. You'd call him a 1A.
He's like a 1A.
1A. Okay. So. And I think we all know who number one is. Drum roll. I think it's pretty easy. He played for my team, New Orleans, for a while, and. I don't think there's a debate here. He's the best.
He is the best.
CP3, Chris Paul.
Pure point guard, does everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, name one thing he doesn't do well.
Win games. He wins in the regular season, but late in games.
Who doesn't choke in the play? Everybody, unless
we need to do a podcast about chokers.
Unless you won the ring, you choked.
Exactly. We need to nix that debate pretty fast. But yeah, that's the only struggle that he's had is that deep in the playoffs, he hasn't gotten either to the conference finals or to the NBA finals. Will that change this year? We don't know yet. But 18.6 points, 4.4 rebounds, 9.9 assists, 2.4 steals a game. That's his career mark. This is last year. 19.1 points, 4.3 rebounds, 10.7 assists. That led the league. 2.5 steals. I think that also led the league. So, I mean, he's probably the second best or best defensive point guard in the NBA. He's the best. He's probably the best overall complete passer in the NBA. And his scoring touch is unbelievable. He's a mid-range nightmare.
He has led the league in steals in 6 of the last 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Who does that?
Jason Kidd, but that was eons ago.
Yeah, it's just so rare. Last year, he led the league in steals and assists.
Mm-hmm.
He's just all over the court. There's no way he can't be the best point guard in the NBA.
Is this a situation, though, where Chris Paul will be the best point guard until, A, he either gets into his mid-30s, or can somebody take him over?
He can be taken over because once he starts getting older and those legs start slowing down, he's not going to be getting 2.5 steals a game.
How close do you think that lower portion is for Chris Paul, whether it be elite or really good?
Oh, he can be...
How many guys can really catch up to him?
He will... When he starts slowing down, he'll still be a top 10.
Yeah, and we got to put an asterisk next to Derrick Rose, because there was a point in 2011 or 2010 where we could probably make a case Derrick Rose was the best point guard in the NBA before the injuries.
Yeah, and that's just, but then again, that's just a one-year thing. We're not giving out these awards every year. Chris Paul has done it year in, year out.
Mm-hmm.
You have one solid year, okay, we'll notice you, but we need 2 or 3 more years to see that to be like, okay, now we'll respect you.
Remember when Paul and Williams, Darren Williams, were like the 1 and 1A? Who's the best? We don't know. Well, I think we now know.
Injuries took one out, and the other one is...
Well, he gets hurt a little bit, too. He gets a nick and a
neck. Yeah, these are knick-knack injuries who take, you know, okay, you're out for a couple weeks, you miss 5, 7 games, okay. But he's avoided the big major knee injury to this point.
Give me a point guard that we listed that you think can really make an ascent, and which one you think is very close to falling off a cliff.
The ones who can really ascend, John Wall,
mm-hmm.
I think Ken Lillard, I don't think he'll be number one. I think his peak is sort of like a 3 or a 4. I don't think he'll ever be the best.
Kind of like, you remember Terry Porter? You know, Terry Porter was always, or Derek Harper. Derek Harper's a better example. Always really good, but never the best.
Kyrie Irving, I think, could take it over if he, just don't, people, you know, forget it. He's only 23. Mm-hmm. He's still very young, and he can get better still.
I think the guy that might be in a little bit of the danger zone is Rubio, because I think there could be a scenario there where if he's the star and things don't work out for him and he suffers another injury and he slows down, that I can see him become looking like an overpaid point guard and people turn on him.
Well, the thing with Rubio is people know he's not that number one player we all thought he would be.
Yeah, well, they were hoping he would be.
After watching the Olympics, oh, he's going to be the superstar. He's the next great thing.
That was okay. 5 fucking minutes.
We know he's not that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The expectations have sort of lowered on him. Who is in danger of falling off? As much as I like Kyle Lowry and Dragic.
Did they all peak?
Yeah, have they peaked?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
Dragic has gotten better, but I don't, you know, we Connolly's reached his peak. Ty Lawson, I don't think he could go up too much more.
Mm-hmm.
Rose is always going to have that injury, you know, hovering over his head with the talk.
Mm-hmm.
I really just think it's Irving and John Wall who can see Chris Paul or,
yeah. But for now, our big boy is Chris Paul. I don't think that's going to be changing anytime soon. Our big four on the board were Paul, Westbrook, Tony Parker, and Steph Curry. Derrick Rose might come back. We're hoping so. John Wall, Damian Lillard, they might be looking at it. And then there's a lot of really good. I mean, it's hard to rate because there's so many good ones.
That's the thing is, like we mentioned, like, oh, he's good, but there's a lot of people who are interchangeable, who are solid and good starters. Who would have thought, you know, we'd be mentioning like Mike Conley and Ty Lawson as sort of middle of the road, slightly better than average point guards.
Mm-hmm.
They're really good players.
Okay. So go ahead.
You have a lot of people up top who are just way too dominant to for anyone to crack through.
Exactly. And we're going to go ahead and close this one out. I think this was a pretty fun conversation trying to rank all these point guards, even though it's pretty difficult to do. Even in a vacuum, doing it is pretty difficult. But I think we handled it pretty well. I'm going to break a shill rule, and we're going to go ahead and promote something that's going to be coming out soon. I promised Justin Pizarro this, but I got to promote our 90s music song tournament that's going to be kicking off. Do you have a 90s song that you just absolutely rocked it to, Adam?
I plead the fifth.
None of them?
I refuse to incriminate myself with bad 90s songs right now.
Oh, man. No, I just can't do that. But I had to promise, Justin. 90s tournament, placetobenation.com. Vote. I'm telling you, this is going to be... I don't even remember how many songs are in there, but it's going to be so much fun. But, okay, on behalf of Adam Murray, this is Andrew Reich. We're going to see you on the bounce, guys.